Welcome, everyone. I am Michael, your host for Antediluvian Revelations. This is the 8th episode of the 4th edition podcast reading of the poetic retelling of the Book of Enoch, the Prophet. The complete text of this 4th edition is currently available as a free download in PDF format from polyatlotiapubs.com. Be sure to download your free copy of this revelational guide to the future of mankind. In this episode, the Holy Watchers take Enoch on a tour of the universe and show him marvels that have been ignored for centuries by ignorant people who rejected his book. Enoch's ancient descriptions of celestial wonders have been confirmed as realistic and truthful by modern science and technology. Within his testimony, Enoch also discovers and relates the first prophecy about the Messiah. A tree of life appears in this segment, and it is the first prophecy about the true message of Jesus Christ. The Book of Enoch was the first text of ancient Hebrew literature that predicts the apocalyptic end of mankind and the advent of Jesus Christ. Get ready for the second coming of Jesus Christ. Get ready for the apocalypse. Raphael paused to see Enoch studying this place intently, perhaps wondering who else he might know there and where those deceased might have already gone in this place. Raphael continued his explanation because there was more to say.
Here the souls of those who believed on the whole in general, those who have offended God and His chosen one, are separated. Moreover, abundant is their suffering until the time of the great judgment, the castigation and the eternal torment of those who execrate with Satan by symbolically consuming human flesh and blood, whose souls are punished and bound there forever. Thus has it been this way from the beginning of the earth. Thus has there existed a separation between the souls of those who utter protests, complaints, and insults about others from those who wait for the destruction of their persecutors, that they are slaughtered and destroyed in the day of judgment for all of the sinners. None of them will obtain mercy from God because they are all guilty of blasphemy and idolatry. A containment facility of this sort has been formed for the souls of unrighteous men and sinners, a confinement for those who have committed crimes and associated with the impious because they are the same. Their souls will be annihilated on the day of judgment, and they will never arise from this place to live again.
Upon realizing the seriousness of this place and knowing that it was not in Raphael's nature to say things for the purpose of invoking fear or terror, but that all of his response was about the management of human souls and spirits, such as that is Raphael's task, Enoch prayed and blessed the Lord God Almighty, saying,
Blessed be my Lord, the Lord of glory and of righteousness, he who reigns over all forever and ever.
This was Enoch's tour within this place among the watchers, who cared for Enoch and guided him through the knowing of it all, and this was what they were tasked to do for God, while watching over humanity from a distant perch, like songbirds singing from a seat upon a star in space, where no gust of wind might whisk them away on wing. They were constantly in flight above all that was below. There was gladness in them all, and Enoch was happy too. Even Uriel seemed to have some pleasure, seeing the face of so much smiling and satisfaction for this service to God. Having completed a circuit within those confines among his host, Enoch looked into the place where he saw the heavens and the sights of all that could be seen from the extremities of earth. There he saw a fire blazing and running along a course without cessation, which never intermitted its course neither by day nor by night, but it continued always the same for an indeterminable distance. Enoch spoke aloud at first, not seeing anyone, and he asked,
"What is this which never ceases, this fire flowing like a river?"
Raquel, one of the holy angels who was there with Enoch, answered,
"This fire blazing, which thou beholdest running towards the west, is that of all the luminaries of the heavens."
In other words, this stream of fire which blazed and ran a continuous course was a nebula, the birthplace of stars throughout the universe. It might have been the Magellanic Cloud or some other celestial nubecula, which becomes the matter enabling the formation and accretion of a new galaxy. Interest in what he could see in this locality, Enoch watched as the view changed to another place, where he saw a mountain of fire flashing both by day and night. They continued traveling toward it, and seven splendid mountains, which were all different from each other, came into view. The flashing light was a pulsar star, and the mountains were other stars with their orbiting planets that looked like stones. Their stones were brilliant and beautiful. All were brilliant and splendid to behold, and beautiful were their surfaces. Three mountains were towards the east, and strengthened by being placed one upon another in close proximity, and three were towards the south, strengthened in a similar manner of closeness. There were likewise deep valleys which did not approach each other, these being the distances between these solar systems, which comprised a constellation formed in a distant galaxy, near some unidentified pulsar star, one day becoming a black hole, after it stops spinning and emitting its antimatter into space, becoming a dead star that reverses polarity and draws matter into itself suddenly and with a flourish of light to create an entirely new galaxy beginning as a quasar, whereupon the appearance of the heavens will change as the luminaries alter their courses in response to the resulting gravitational changes. The seventh mountain was in the midst of the other six. In length they all resembled the seat of a throne, and among those mountains upon their stones there were some odoriferous trees surrounding them. Among all of these trees there was a tree of unceasing smell. Never there was such a tree as this one, nor of those which were in Eden was there one so fragrant. Of all the blossoming trees, none of them smelled like this one. Its leaf, its flower, and its bark never withered, and its fruit was beautiful. Its fruit resembled the cluster of the palm tree. Enoch exclaimed,
"Behold, this tree is goodly in aspect, pleasing in its leaf, and the sight of its fruit is delightful to the eye."
Michael, one of the holy and glorious angels who was with Enoch, presiding over all of them, answered, saying,
"Enoch, why dost thou inquire respecting the odor of this tree? Why art thou inquisitive to know it?"
It might have been at that time when Enoch realized, to his temporary embarrassment, that angels could not smell. The watchers were eternal, extraterrestrial, spiritual beings, not requiring an atmosphere the same as Enoch, and they did not breathe the atmosphere of this planet. Although his new associates could take human form in his presence, Enoch realized that these heavenly ones were not the same as he was. Enoch replied shyly, feeling himself blush a little,
Concerning everything, I am desirous of instruction, but particularly concerning this tree.
Michael answered, saying,
That mountain which thou beholdest, the extent of whose head resembles the seat of the Lord, will be the seat on which shall sit the holy and great Lord of glory, the everlasting King, when he shall come to the earth to visit with goodness, faith, hope, and love for eternity with God the Father. And the tree of an agreeable smell, not being an odor of carnality or death, there shall be no power to touch until the period of great judgment, when all shall be punished and consumed forever. This shall be bestowed on the righteous and the humble who patiently wait for him. The fruit of this tree will be given to the elect, for life shall be planted towards the north in the holy place, towards the habitation of the everlasting King. Then shall they greatly rejoice and exult in the Holy One. The sweet odor shall enter into their bones, and they shall live a long life, the same as their forefathers on the earth have lived. Neither in their days shall sorrow, distress, trouble, and punishment afflict them.
Hearing these words and knowing this was about the fruit of the tree of life and all that worthy of its consumption upon judgment day will come here with the chosen one who will rule in this new heaven over a new earth forever and ever, Enoch blessed God by saying,
Blessed be the Lord of glory, the everlasting King, because he has prepared this tree for the elect and the saints, formed it, and declared that he would give it to them.
Well, this concludes episode 4 of Antediluvian Revelations, a poetic retelling of the Book of Enoch the Prophet. This episode presented subsegments 7 through 12 of Part 1, Canto 4, from the 4th edition. All the music selections used in these podcasts come from YouTube's content creator resources, and all tracks are copyright-free for content creators who publish their works on YouTube. This audio podcast series is available for free on all of your favorite audio platforms or on YouTube in the Polyet Losha Publishing YouTube channel. The mystery of the tree on a distant planet that Enoch was so infatuated with continues to be perplexing to this day. The veracity of the angel who spoke to Enoch cannot be denied. No person will have the power to touch the fruit of this tree until the great day of judgment for mankind, and those judged worthy will be allowed to partake of it. The fruit of the tree of life will only be for a few, because all others will have been deemed unworthy by God for their pagan idolatry and blasphemy. Be sure to subscribe for notifications of the next release. Thank you for listening. I am Michael.